yes. Hey, yo! How's it going, everyone out there? We are back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Yo! Show! Hey, man. Hey, how's it going, world? My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer. I'm definitely in the band Monday Mistress. And today, we are definitely rocking this podcast. Across from me is one of the greatest artists I've ever known in my whole entire life. As usual, her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How's it going, Carolyn?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing all right. Right.
I'm doing some sideways glances with our studio guest today. Welcome back to the studio, Cooney.
How's it going, Cooney?
Hey, how you guys doing?
You usually join us during Christmas time when we do the annual KKK Crazy Cooney Christmas show. And now you are here in the summer. This is odd to me. This is different. It's warm out.
Awesome.
And you are here.
This
has never happened before.
Just a question. When will this be put out?
Right now. It's going out right now.
Right now.
It's going out right now. That's very second.
It's going to be Tuesday, and that means a new Carolyn and Joe show.
Or we can go crazy. We can do this on a Monday, but it's going to be it's going out at this very second.
No, it's going out this very moment.
We're live. We're live.
We are live at all times.
Yeah. Always live.
Awesome.
So we'll see how far you can go without cursing on this one, Cooney.
You know, surprisingly, sometimes I can be pretty tame.
That's true.
He has cleaned up his act.
Not really.
Okay.
Clean Cooney.
So, question.
That's what we call you, Clean Cooney.
Yeah, the KK. Clean Cooney is here today. Question for you, Cooney. If you do happen to use a curse word in this episode, what should we bleep it out with? Now, we have used tons of other... We've used, a baby crying... We've used Warren G to, some rap stuff. Is there any type of sound that you would like, if you do curse, to be bleeped out with?
Like a car honking or something?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Something hilarious. Something that will make it even funnier.
Like a fart.
No.
I'm just gonna, farts are always pretty funny.
I'm just gonna make it a girl moaning. That's what it's gonna be.
Because that would be better.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Great. Whatever corresponds with the actual curse word.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the
Yeah.
S, yeah. Yeah.
The S word will be poop fart sounds. You know?
Okay. Got it.
You know, the F bomb will be like the girl moaning.
No, yeah. I like that.
That's right.
It's creative.
All right, so whoever's editing this, be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready.
Be ready for some shock value.
That's
right. We're protecting you, the listener, from Cooney's mouth, his dirty, dirty mouth. But we hope that it is clean for the Clean Cooney Show.
Carolyn's news.
Trying to work our way around the actual curse words just makes things dirtier, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try our best. So, yeah, time for the news segment. You guys... June is pretty sweet because we're going to be bringing you all of these amazing podcasts that we recorded at AwesomeCon. For those of you that are just joining us, you can check out, after you listen to this episode, go back one episode and listen to our live Phil Lamar conversation recorded at AwesomeCon, because that was really amazing, and he's a great guy, man. So fabulous to have him on the Carolyn and Joe show at AwesomeCon. And not only did we get to talk to him, but we got to talk to a whole bunch of other people, and we'll be releasing those episodes, usually, let's just say, on Thursday. So we'll do a Tuesday will be a new edition of the Carolyn and Joe show, and then Thursdays
or Monday.
Will be... Okay, whenever you want. I do like the Tuesdays, because that's what we say. We like to offend or entertain every Tuesday. But we could also offend or entertain on Mondays.
That's right.
Depends on what you're feeling. But, you know, either way, we're going to be recording two shows, bringing to you two shows for the next few weeks. And that will be amazing. So beware and look out for all those shows. And not only that, we are working on a art exhibit for Cartoonist Draw Blood. And some of you may know, we do a blood drive with American Red Cross every fall. And this year's is actually on October 29th. We will be doing another blood drive. It's too soon, you know, too far out to talk about, you know, October 29th. I mean, come on, let's not talk about Halloween time. But, you know, you can always mark that in your calendar. But however, in July 7th, that's a Thursday, we will be having an opening reception of the Cartoonist Draw Blood art exhibit, first ever art exhibit, and it is at the Tacoma Park Community Center in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Starts at 6:30 p.m., so, you know, If you're not doing anything on a Thursday night, come down and check out some of the artists. We'll have food there. Just come by after work. Again, it starts at 6:30 p.m. Tacoma Park Community Center. Well, and not only will we have the artwork up on display, but it's also very reasonably priced. You can come home with a framed original art from great artists that we have participating in the blood drive. So it's going to be exciting. This is our first ever art reception for a whole art show. And also, the show will be up, I don't know the exact date, but I think it ends, on September 4th. So if you miss the opening reception, you'll have a good couple months to check out the show. All of July and all of August. Part of September. So check that out, guys. That's the main news. But I know that Joe has some news with this band.
I always got some news. Going to announce some of the... We got four shows. Four shows coming up at the beginning of July. We're going to be playing Epicure at Epicure in Fairfax, Old Town Fairfax. Monday Mistress is putting together a show. We haven't figured out the complete lineup, but Monday Mistress is going to be headlining it. It's going to be on July 1st. July 1st, Epicure Cafe in Fairfax. After that, we're actually playing a 4th of July show on July 3rd.
The day before.
Absolutely. It's on some farmland event space that's happening in between Herndon and Ashburn. I'll figure out those details later. But then so that's going to be on July 3rd. So, and we're playing, you know, that's going to be a big party. Everyone's invited for that one. Next show after that's going to be on July 5th at Jam and Java. We're part of the Battle of the Bands, the band battle. Monday Mistress is going to be playing around maybe 8 o'clock. I'm not sure, but go and support all the acts out there that make a lot of noise for us. Monday Mistress is playing a Jam in Java at July 5th. Then we're going back to Epicure Cafe on July 9th, and we're going to rock your faces off again. And then after that, I'm not really sure how many more shows we got, but hopefully we're going to have a little bit more.
So that first week of July, man. Four shows
that's
between
right.
the 1st and the 9th of July.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hit them hard while we got stuff, you know, just make some music. That's what we do. MondayMistress.com. Go check it out.
All right, Joe. Cool. So, Cooney.
Yes.
How is your summer kicking off right now?
Have a good summer, Cooney.
It's... Have a good summer. Never change.
Never change. Love always. Do you remember that? Do you ever give like your yearbook to like some girl that you liked and you're like trying to figure out what they're? You're like, oh, I hope they write something very inspirational to me. How's that situation for you?
Usually pretty bad, actually.
Really?
It's not so much the girl thing, but it's just in general. Like people just write the most generic things, and I'm just like. I have 40, 50 signatures of people that I can tolerate, but they're all just very boring. It's like, have a good summer.
They never like...
Hope you have a good one. And I'm like, good one what? You know, so...
Why is it just got to be one?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird. So it's just, you know, people have a list of 30 generic things that you can say to somebody, write a card or something.
And that's all people wrote to you? They never wrote like really deep, dark secrets that like... They let that, you know, they're like, oh my God, like no one should see this page.
Why would they? They're 14, 15 years old.
Or 18 to get yearbooks from your senior year, right?
No.
That's the most important one.
I actually didn't buy it.
Really?
I didn't.
Why
no.
not? You're still in it.
It was just, actually, you know what? I was not in that.
Did you even go to school at that? Did you go to school at that
No,
time?
No. I think I was sick or I had to do something else at that day, that New Year's Day, or sorry,
the picture day,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you have anybody special, like, sign the front or back hardcover? I remember that was, like, a special place that somebody would be like, oh, don't sign the back cover, that's reserved for such and such. And it's, like, this prestigious space.
Really?
Of a yearbook, yeah.
No, I'm just like, whatever, just fill out a space.
Did you remember that, Joe? Like, there was, like, a prestigious space on, like, the front or back covers.
I don't know. I never really designated a certain spot for someone. I just like let them.
But
run
I thought
wild.
That was like a big deal, though. At least with my group of friends, it seemed like it was like whoever your best friend was got to sign that area.
I never had that. I had no best friends. I guess. It always made me annoyed when people would like mess up other people's images.
Yeah.
Or mess up your like someone else, like my image and stuff like that. I'm like, come on, dude. forever. This is forever. This is forever.
Like, what do you mean?
Like they would scribble or make like a face on your like your
book
photo.
They'll make facial hair on you.
Yeah, something like that.
Turn you into the devil.
Or wait, why would they do that? That's cruel.
Exactly.
That's your.
Did somebody do that to you?
So how much is a yearbook? How much is a yearbook?
It's like they're expensive.
$10-15
What?
Oh, no
way.
They were like $50.
That's a money making scheme,
whoa,
man.
What, 50?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the high school ones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about those elementary school ones?
I was talking about the middle school ones. Yeah, yeah. Those
we didn't
like
go
bucks.
To middle school. It was like a straight up high. It was a secondary school, so it was like 7th to 12th grade.
So we got all of that. We got all of that. It was a thick Bible book.
Basically, I actually did get a yearbook for every single year, mm-hmm. and it takes up like a whole shelf on the bookshelf. It's probably, it's probably like 2 feet worth of books. And they're all hardcover too.
Missed out, Cooney. You could scope the future. You know, next year, I'm checking out that
in reality, though, I wish I did only get the senior one. Like, I didn't need a yearbook when I was, like, in seventh grade. That
yeah, you
has,
did.
Like, all the seniors in it.
Yeah,
and
you
stuff.
Do.
Like,
I think you do.
I don't know, but I do have all my yearbooks still.
Maybe that was, like, insurance for something bad happening. And
actually,
then
I remember.
You won't be able to have any future.
I think it was seventh grade. Dude, I think it was seventh grade. They actually messed up on the seventh graders, and my picture wasn't even in it.
Oh.
And it wasn't just me. It was like a bunch of them. Like they messed up on the whole grade.
They would just omit people?
Yeah. Like
I don't remember whether or not if it was a blank space or it's like not pictured. And then they'll just list out the people at the bottom of the page.
I think there is a not pictured part.
Yeah. It's at the very end of each grade.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I am just a name, printed name in the South Lakes High School yearbook.
Did you ever compare yourself now to back then in those yearbooks? Did you have the same haircut back then? I've never even seen the high school Cooney, actually. If I think about it.
Yeah, we didn't know you back then.
I've actually only seen the senior of college. I think that's all I know.
Junior year?
Junior, senior. I'm trying to figure out which is what.
The end of college.
Like 20 years and over Cooney.
Yeah. That's
the
only
under 20
one. Cooney. Yeah, that's the
only Cooney. The adult Cooney.
Yeah, I'm...
Well, is there a difference?
Kind of.
What's the difference? Like, if you look back at that and you're like, I had dreadlocks or something like that.
Well, I'm not 17 anymore.
No.
Because I can't look back. I when I look back at the person, all my yearbook photos, I don't think I look cool. I don't think I look cool now. But the ones back then, I really don't think I'm cool at all.
I don't
want to
think about my high school years. They're fairly embarrassing.
Yeah.
Actually, for some reason, I don't even think that I look like the senior year version of Joe. Carolyn, do I look like that? I don't even think, like, when I see photos like that, I don't think I even represent that person.
You've changed.
I've seen.
Yeah.
I told you to never change, and you've changed.
I've seen that photo. I've seen that photo of you.
Have you?
With the tux and the Sears background.
With the fake tux?
Yeah. Was it all, like, facade?
Where'd you see that?
I just remember one time.
Might have been up
here.
On the wall.
Your family's home one time, and I'm like, I came over, and it's like, that's you?
That's like the vampire-looking
you
Joe.
You do look like you suck some blood.
Back then, yeah. I even had a shirt that said vampire on it. That's what was in
was that
then.
Like?
Why are we having reminiscing 90s. About our high school years? Because
I asked you how your summer was going. It all started with that. So really, Cooney, how is your summer kicking off?
Okay, I guess. It's really hot.
Have you been to the pool yet?
No.
I haven't.
I'm not a pool person.
Joe is not a pool person.
That's right.
Well, I almost drowned, so
Oh. That
kind of scarred me, right?
Does it?
Do you know how to swim?
That's the ocean, though.
I learned
is
how
that
to
the
swim
ocean,
later
is that
in my
the...
life, like when I, like 12, 13, that I took swimming lessons
mm-hmm.
just because I was too scared to go and swim, so.
Yeah. But now you're okay?
Yeah, I'm still not. I mean, I can get in the water and dive and all that kind of stuff, but I'm really bad at the actual act of swimming.
Like how bad? Like you can't swim?
Can you doggy paddle?
Yeah, I can do that. And I can do, I can do just regular stuff, but it's like not very good. And I'm like, every time if I go to like a swimming race with somebody, I'll just be like, 10 yards behind.
I like the breaststroke. I like to stroke the breast. It's good.
Don't look at me, Cooney.
The breaststroke is nice. It's like relaxing because it's symmetrical.
It's a little eerie because right now, Carolyn's behind a voice.
Like a Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah,
she's protector.
She's in this kind of
the riot gear. She's in the riot gear.
Yeah, it's a riot shield that kind of insulates the audio or something like
that. Because my voice is so dangerous. That's why I need this shield.
But it's like, I can only see half her face. So I can only see one eye. And she's grinning at me with a half a face.
Cooney.
That's awesome. I forget that's how it's actually going to be. Because you only, I can see Carolyn through the visor window of that. But you have to look, she has to look like out through the side. The one eye look.
I can move back, and then you can see my full face.
Yeah.
No, because you're just like intentionally moving back, and that makes it even weirder.
Ooh, that's crazy. It's like, playing with the audio.
But how's your summer been?
So we're officially in summer, right? It feels like summer.
I think after Memorial Day
passed.
So that's really the designated time of that of summer.
I always also feel like after Free Comic Book Day. It feels like that's the kickoff to summer.
Oh, wait. It was already...
First Saturday in every May. Yeah. First Saturday in May. And then also, like, the Triple Crown races are already done. You know, we have, like, the Preakness. And I guess what was on Sunday was the Belmont.
Sunday.
Yeah. So, what? You know, like, it's kind of like you have those three horse races in a row. And then, to me, it feels like... Totally summer. And then, of course, 4th of July is coming up. So that's definitely in the heat of summer.
We should tell people about your Instagram, Cooney. It's been picking up speed, man.
The grams?
Yeah, the grams. The gram, grams.
The Cooney grams.
Cooney, tell me about these grams.
What's your address? What's the
Graham
name?
Graham Crackers.
What is it?
Kunioihi.
That's it? There's no space?
Nope.
Just Kunioihi, at Kunioihi?
Kunioihi... Yeah, that's it. It's the name of the account.
I think everyone should, because it's funny. I don't know how long you've been. It seems like it hasn't really been that long that you were Instagramming, but then it seems to have picked up over the years, over the past 2 years or something like that.
I don't know. Well, the problem is that like my whole vocation is a visual vocation, right?
Yeah.
So I thought I was going to use Instagram as just a way to like connect with friends and just share photos and just kind of dig around.
Yeah.
Oh, I said.
That's okay.
That's okay. I mean, that's a technical term.
Okay.
It's a technical term.
But as I started work, you know, as I started like accumulating photos and stuff, I came to like a couple of people told me, it's like, hey, just let you know, Instagram, even though it's just a way to connect with people, it's also an extension of your online portfolio. And like, are you serious? They're like, yeah. If you're like a DP, a director of photography, it's especially imperative that you really take in consideration how you frame and capture and like do a post process on your photos. And I'm like, so I stopped for a while.
You're like, yeah, this isn't fun anymore.
No,
it has
it's not.
To be work.
This is work.
Yes.
Now I gotta work all the time.
That's how it's like for all creatives.
Yeah, yeah.
You need like this perfect visual.
Yeah, then I went down to this rabbit hole and then I started like doing different formats and aspect ratios and post-processing for the photos. And then now it's like, it's not too bad. It's like, it's very second nature now. Like I've done it so many times, but I would say that it does kind of limit me on the intimacy of what I wanted to shoot sometimes.
What do you mean?
Because it's like friends. I want to do great photos of friends and them in really candid, intimate, fun moments where it just I don't have to worry about composition or framing or lighting.
You can have multiple accounts though on Instagram. So you can have like Kunioihi_friends.
Yeah, but I'm kind of a Luddite, you know, because
how much more can you take on, man?
Well, no, I mean, I used to have a Twitter account, but I stopped, and I've
what was that? Was
Twitter
that Duckfire? Or was that still Cooney?
I think it was a Cooney account. I had a Twitter, and I stopped because I just didn't know how to tweet properly, and I just didn't feel like, you know.
Well, Twitter's tough because. Really, it goes by so fast, too.
Yeah.
I feel like Twitter's the hardest one, because not only that, on Facebook, you have to...
Sorry.
Are we getting some technical difficulties? I think the aliens are coming.
Sorry about that. Okay. Sorry about that.
So, yeah.
Twitter's tough.
Not only... Like, on Facebook, I feel like anyone can add you as a friend. People that you've talked to for, like, 10 minutes in your life
hold on. Let me get this back.
Sorry about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Technical. Okay. So... People that have talked to you for like 10 minutes in your life can be your Facebook friend, or people that you had class with in seventh grade can be your friend and you haven't talked to them in years. Mm-hmm. And so like those are all basically a whole Rolodex of everyone that you've ever met in your whole entire life. But whereas like Twitter, people aren't necessarily as inclined to like follow you or friend you. Like an eighth grade friend isn't going to be like, oh, he's on Twitter now and like follow you. It's more of like you have to actually really earn your followers on Twitter. I feel like you really, really, really truly have to earn your followers and provide great content that they want to hear.
See, like providing content is what kind of irks me. It's like I'm full stop some sort of mental service thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's pretty much what we become. We just become content, free content providers for the icons of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, like the bird, you know, like the bird, the camera,
Pinterest.
Like the grams is easier for me because that's like taking photos and composing it and providing something that's kind of a unique perspective on what I see through my eye. That seems like second nature to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, even though I'm kind of giving stuff away for free, it's also kind of cathartic and relaxing for me. But with the Twitter, it just seems like I have to really think about it. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Because you got to make some sort of joke or comment or something that's like...
Be witty or something. Yeah. Something to
the matter. Better with photos than words.
I would agree with that statement. That's pretty accurate. So what's happening? You got the Twitters, you got the Grams, you got the Facebooks, which is just... accumulating people, like your social network, I guess, your overall network of like personal and professional acquaintances. And then you got the Snapchat.
I'm not on Snapchat.
That's the thing with the kids getting in.
Yes.
The kids.
Can I say Snapchats. Something about Snapchat? Because, okay, I randomly downloaded it about like 3 weeks ago. I was like, man, I need to get on Snapchat. Like,
get on the Snapchat.
That's where the youngins are and I need to connect with them. And so, like, I downloaded it. And Joe was actually... I was doing it while in a studio with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the Picture Lock show.
Ah.
And so...
Hold on.
What is going on? These aliens keep... conversations.
Sorry, it's that cord.
That one cord is our
life force of the show.
So that's why people should give us money on Patreon.
That's right.
So that we can get a new cord.
Well, we've been doing the same exact... We've been using that same cord... since 2007.
So if you're listening right now, I actually do have a Patreon that I don't really promote very often, but it's called patreon.com/Carolyn.
But basically,
you can give me money and we'll get a new cord.
But basically, I was on the Picture Lock show, and I think it was Kevin. He was just like, oh, we're going to Snapchat this, yo. That's probably not how he talks.
But he is black.
But he is black, so I was close.
You know,
I don't know.
There you go.
But, crossing that line.
But
yep.
I didn't curse, but then.
But he doesn't talk like that.
No, he doesn't.
Let's be.
He's a happy, jolly guy. I really appreciate his awesomeness in the shows. But
he was
like, I'm gonna put this on the Snapchat and the Periscope, and then you're like, I should get on Snapchat, or I think you were something like
no,
that.
No, I was already contemplating, and we were talking about how you have to be on like everything now.
Because
I remember, it's too much for me to handle. Because then there's also what's that other one, Tumblr, and like this is just too much, man.
Because that's what we did during the Picture Lock show, Chikuni. We like. I streamed from my Facebook, then he streamed from his Periscope, and we sandwiched the phones together.
Yeah.
And then Carolyn did the Snapchat.
So I don't even actually know how to use Snapchat. So if you know how to use it, maybe you can do a quick tutorial with me.
Are you
like
on there?
5 minutes.
Are you on there?
No, but
you're supposed to tap a ghost. That's all I know. And I'm like, tap a ghost.
Okay. That sounds like something. Somebody would do like to somebody in a really dirty way, tap that ghost.
Yeah,
tap
that's
that
ghost. It says,
tap that ghost.
It says tap the ghost. I'm like, what the heck am I supposed
right
to do?
Right, yeah, Baltimore Arena, you tap that ghost.
I seriously like have. I seriously feel like an old person when I've tried to like use it and I'm like, is this what I'm doing? And I have no idea like what I'm doing. I don't know how to like follow people or how to get followers. And I don't even know, like I just kind of like touch the screen and tap the ghost for like 15 seconds and then it's like, oh, new story or something. I have no idea what happened. And then you can write over top of your story. But I seriously need some training in it, just for like 5 or 10 minutes if anybody knows. Of course, I could also Google how to use Snapchat, but I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I like that this podcast is essentially just us complaining about the new apps that are coming out and how we can't use them.
Other things, like, I've figured out how to use on my own. Like, I have never had any social media training in anything.
Well, I mean, like, you're like, honestly inquisitive about those other apps and all those other programs. Yeah. So, unfortunately, with the Snapchat, it's more like an obligation. So you're never going to get really into it.
I want to. But you know what my thing against Snapchat is, Cooney?
Okay, there you go. That's the but. But.
You know this thing against that I have, which you might not like either as a filmmaker, is that it actually deletes your story after 24 hours. So basically what you film is gone in a day.
Well, you can kind of keep it for yourself,
I guess, but it's like, what's the point of like sharing with people if it's just going to delete after? I mean, I can understand if it was like, I guess people do the dick pics or whatever, but I'm not into that. But
isn't that what makes it like sort of, you know, like special? It's like, oh, it's only going to last.
Yeah, yeah. And also it's just it seems like it's a very much more candid and I guess, dare I say, honest way of communicating a little bit.
Because, but then what's the difference between Vine? Because I like Vine and I don't have a problem with Vine and I never had a issue like with dealing with Vine, and I could figure that out.
I think Vine, it's kind of weird. Vine just seems like more of a way to accumulate followers and to be recognized and to get some sort of internet fame. Snapchat seems more like literally a way for friends to get together and actually take videos and pictures of each other.
See, I feel like, sadly, and I don't even want to admit this, but I might be out of the age demographic for Snapchat.
Well, what's the age demographic?
I don't know.
I mean, truthfully, it could be anybody. No one's like segregating it and being like, no, it's only this age group. Well, but it seems very youthful.
My friend Evan is he's 28.
Black and blue?
Yeah, he's 28, and he's...
He's 28?
Yeah, he's 28 years old. So.
Doesn't seem 20.
So, and he's doing the Snapchat, so...
He's 28?
I mean, there's a lot of other creative people that I've seen that are doing Snapchat that are older than me, even. So...
I think the main thing is... All
right, we're back.
So...
That cord, man. I'm telling you, give me some Patreon money.
But I do think that maybe once you accumulate two or three people that you want to actually...
chat with,
yeah, then I think you'll
get into it.
Yeah,
see, I don't even know how to like add friends on it. I seriously like look at the interface and I'm like,
maybe you and Joe so should just get Snapchats and then start Snapchatting each other and then see how far you can take that.
I don't know
if that's gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I want to see any more of Joe.
We barely communicate with each other as it is.
Well, also
I have to see him screen now.
Can his phone handle it?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't think he can handle this because I don't think he's ready for the jelly.
My phone has already been as abused as it possibly can when it comes to trying to produce as much media. Like, I've milked the hell out of that media. My camera is like on its dying legs of trying to shoot any type of photo at this point.
Focus, man, focus. If you know Joe, he would like to hold on to a piece of technology for as long as he can possibly can and milk it for all it's worth.
Yes. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that's why sometimes his technological cachet is 2 to 3 years older than everybody else's.
But you know, but see, what that does do for me, technically, I feel like that makes me really appreciate the new technology, as opposed to just grabbing it when it's new. Now I can be like, oh yes, now I know. Because usually when I get a new bit of technology, I just learn everything there is, right? When I first just soak it all in, so I'm one with the technology. Until it's like a limb. I use that limb until it's broken.
But then you won't be able to Snapchat with Carolyn.
or anyone else, man, or anyone else. I have a Vine, I just don't use a Vine. But the thing is, though, with Snapchat, it's mainly for video and stuff like that, but now I can upload videos on Instagram for like a minute. You know what I mean? A minute.
See, oh, really? They elongated to a minute?
They've elongated to a minute.
Our technology, man. I'm telling you.
It's only when I talk, though. What's up with that?
I feel like maybe you should... it seems like there's a Guitar Center shopping...
How much would be a new...
You would have to go tomorrow,
how much would it
possibly,
be a new cord, maybe? Joe?
No, I have like 5 of these cords, but still.
When do we get the extra...
It works fine now. There's something that triggers it.
You jinxed us.
Yeah. See, I touched it.
Come on.
No
see,
touching.
I touched it. That's what happens when I touch it.
Do not
it breaks.
Tap that ghost, okay?
See, it's the same thing with my phone, and it's the same thing with this technology. Just
maybe
milk it,
I
milk
think
it
a
out,
ghost
man.
Might be in the studio. Maybe the ghost is offended that we're talking about Snapchat.
Maybe
like
that's
that.
Maybe that's exactly
that that's
how
what's
it
going
is,
on.
Man.
The ghost is offended that we're constantly trying to tap it.
Yeah. I think that's seriously what's going on. He's like, stop tapping me. I'm going to tap your audio. Okay.
Have you ever shot one of those ghost hunter shows?
No, didn't you?
Yeah, I shot one of those ghost hunter shows, several episodes of that actually, and a lot of it consisted of like you're in a room that's like the size of like a kid's bedroom or something like that, and there's seven of us. There's probably seven of us. You know what I mean? Four of the people on the host, and maybe four crew, and then three hosts, and then we turn out all the lights, and then. And then, like, the main whatever seance person puts, like, a flashlight on the bed. And then it's like, okay, Jonathan, if you hear us, please give us a sign. And then we're all just, like, staring at the flashlight in the dark. But I see it in, like, dark in the what's it called? The night vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow the flashlight flickers.
Oh, that's scary.
And then in my head...
You know that there's like a secret additional button that's like on the side of the actual flashlight.
No, but no one's touching it. No one's touching around it. We're all just looking at it. Looking
no,
at
no, sometimes thing. It's like it's remote controlled or something.
Yeah, but like, see, my logic towards this is why would a ghost, you know, be hanging around like with seven people in the dark and want to turn on a flashlight? Does he have anything else better to do?
Because the ghost has a remote control that makes
it flicks it off.
No, well, I keep forgetting. The first feature I ever worked on was about ghost
hunting. It's a ghost. Yeah. Ghosts don't exist.
Ghost about ghost hunting, and then they have.
Is that what
like,
that was about?
Yeah, it's about ghost hunting. It's about a guy debunking ghost hunter shows.
Was it just like that episode of Supernatural? Where they like fought these other ghosts? Like, what was it?
It's been years since I last saw Supernatural.
It was like ghost bashers or something like that.
Oh yeah, I think I remember. I remember watching that.
It was like a Mythbusters, but for ghosts.
I remember Supernatural was on TNT and like a whole bunch of reruns. Yeah, that was like one of the episodes. Yeah. Like a ghost hunter. Was it just like that? Kind of,
but like a feature film version of it.
Yeah, it's like 90 minutes long, and it's just like, I mean, look, I can't say anything really too bad about it because it was like my first feature.
But you can say good stuff about it.
I mean,
you had a great crew.
Yeah, great crew. good people.
Good food.
Great experience.
Director
got your foot in the door.
Yeah, director is super nice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because they did talk about all those like the flickering lanterns or
the
whatever.
EVF. Did you have like an EVF?
We
had an EVF. They're like flickering. Like they're like they also had like the temperature meter where it's like the temperature has just dropped 3 degrees. Like it just dropped like 10 degrees and now it's back.
Well, I mean, you're really close to the window, so maybe that's the reason. Maybe it's the draft. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Who knows? But
you were around that with the ghost don't exist?
Yeah. I mean, there was a guy who came in. Sadly, he passed away, but he was a...
Now
he's a ghost.
Jeez, that's so mean. Oh my God. It was an obvious thing I had to make.
He's the one messing with our cord, man.
Well, he's a nice guy, and he was the one who like
he's like Casper, a friendly ghost.
Yeah, he's a friendly guy. He's a friendly guy.
You might be going like, "Hey,
hey, what?
Hey, you're fine." So.
He's Fonzie Ghost.
Hey. So, what else? Are we supposed to talk about? Oh, we're supposed to talk about AwesomeCon, right? Like recap or something.
You didn't conclude whether you had a good how that movie came out.
I don't want to talk about that movie anymore.
Okay, let's move on. It seems like Cootie wants to talk about AwesomeCon.
One of the things that I was really surprised about, like when you know first when you're invited to go to AwesomeCon as the panelist on the Awesome Filmmakers Make It Happen, was the first thing you told me was like, "Yeah, dude, I'm going to do this speed dating," and I don't even know where that came from. Were you supposed to do that last year?
You told me to do it last year.
And then it didn't happen last year?
Everybody told me to do it last year. So I'm like, I'm going to do it this year.
And I give you a lot of credit for following through with that. For actually like stepping up to the plate and be like, you know, I'm going to do that.
Because I know for a fact that I'm going to do one of these podcasts of yours somewhere down the line. and then you're gonna like rib me on the fact that I did not do it. So now I feel like I should do it.
Now is you're gonna we're gonna rib you. So it's like I like that you used the word rib.
Rib.
So it was called
McRib.
Sci-fi speed dating. Is that what that was called?
Sci-fi speed dating.
Now what's really cool is if we go to Kunioe on at Kunioe, you can see the images that you shot an image from waiting in line for the sci-fi speed dating on your Instagram on the Grams.
Yes, on the Grams.
So people can go check that out.
The Grams.
All right. So how this whole process go? Because it was that Saturday you rolled in with Drew and then you guys split up and you're like I need to find the sci-fi speed dating booth. How did you find that booth?
So you pointed me to the booth and I was like, okay, I'm gonna
I sent you a photo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, going to the booth. For the dudes they pay $20, for the ladies they pay
20?
yeah for the ladies they pay nothing because
how much time because do you
sexism,
have?
Sexism strong with that one.
Well, I mean, like in those conventions and that kind of demographic, you're more likely that, you know, the male equation will be a lot more desperate than the female equation.
Let's
just say.
Oh, no.
Let's just say that's how it goes.
Do you think that females should pay, or you think it's okay that they're getting it for free, or do you feel like that is sexism that the males pay?
Because that makes me think like girls are like, man, they're like, guys should pay to talk to us.
I shouldn't that's really even answer that question because I know like that's a rabbit hole.
It feels like
that's
it
a rabbit hole.
Loaded,
I can't.
But
I know I think they should pay.
Like on one hand, if you want equality, it's like, oh, have both of them pay. Maybe like $10 each. Maybe they would still break even with that cost. You know?
I mean, on one hand, it kind of makes the female equation a lot more I guess scarce.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like if you're a female and you're actually going to pay for the speed dating, the chances of you wanting to really engage, you know, in all these other males,
mm-hmm.
or you know, females for that matter, it doesn't matter, you know, whatever,
yeah, whatever you're into,
yeah, whatever sexual orientation you're into, I feel like, I guess by paying, there's more of like willingness to really take your time and go with it and take it seriously, I guess.
I can see that. It provides value.
Yeah, the money equation really does like force you to kind of...
Yeah, it's like a gym membership. It's like, hey, I better use this or else I'm just giving out money for free.
Yeah. So anyways, you go in, you sign up for whatever time you're going to do. It's like every 2 hours or something. And then...
So you get a 2 hour time slot for $20?
Like an hour and a half.
Okay. That's not that bad. I mean, could be worse.
It's what make out of it, right?
So anyways, like now I'm going to get to a point of explaining what the sci-fi speed dating thing is. So if somebody actually hears them, they're working for the sci-fi speed dating. I apologize if I sound, you know, less than kind about it, but
this
I'm
is
just
an
trying
honest,
to be
it's an honest critique
an honest
trying to be as
review.
Accurate as possible
yeah,
about
yeah.
my
they
experience.
Probably
documentation
they probably
purposes.
Want to hear about it. They need to hear about it because this is a real experience.
So you go, you stand in a line, and then basically you have either just basically the males just stand in a line and you're like, what's going on? It's
and
like,
that's the photo we can see on your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, it's just going to be like a big giant sausage fest. It's like, it's going to be all dudes.
I remember
like
you texted me that.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm really confused. What's going on here?
Was this line like just out in the main hall or did they put you like away?
Yeah,
in
yeah, 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 yeah. And it's like, you're just waiting there. And then this guy comes in and this burly guy and just really nonchalant. And he's just not like, it's totally zero in terms of customer relations. He's like, all right, get into the lines. People who paid, people who haven't, get in the other line. And then it's like they get shuffled. And like,
this is like
they're playing freaking dodgeball or something.
That's literally what it...
Yeah. So anyways, I'm in the line because I already paid. And I'm in the other line.
Now, did you dress up knowing you're going to be trying to impress some women today? On that day?
Well, let me get to that later. Okay, since it's sci-fi speed dating, things get a little interesting. so anyways, you know, the other line pays and everyone congregates back together in single line. And you go into the room. And now, again, this took place in Awesome Con, so it was a giant convention center. So it's like a giant convention center. Lots of big rooms, a lot of little rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go in, and it's this bare, white, taupe, beige, high-ceiling, fluorescent overhead lamp-lit room. and then the only thing you can hear is the deafening sound of the AC going. So you walk in.
Something out of like a Terry Gilliam film.
Yeah, yeah. So you walk in and it's like this round robin of chairs on one side that's all empty. And you have the females on the other end and they're all already sitting down. And as you walk in, they're just sitting down all simultaneously staring at all of us, people coming into the line.
How many? How many do you think?
About 20.
So 20 just lined up.
So 20
up in
men
a line.
Just come in.
20 men staring at 20 ladies back and forth. And it's like the orgy scene in Eyes Wide Shut. I felt like Tom Cruise just walking in there and he have these like eyes just immobile
looking at. They're like just, it's almost like everyone's judging each other on the
eyes. Yeah, but it's just really creepy. I just needed that blind, you know, organist to play in the background. Yeah.
So when you walked in, did you immediately kind of like catch one or two of the girls' eyes and were like, oh, you look pretty or something
you're,
like that?
Yeah, you zoned in. You're like, this is a possibility. I don't know if I can make it this far.
I was more like, this is really creepy.
So was there nothing on the walls? No other type of color or like
no motivational poster?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you could do your best.
I feel like the weird thing about trying to do like speed dating in a convention center is like you take the intimacy and you take the comfort of like at a bar or at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, there's things on the walls. There's like things for you to look at.
Yeah.
Or to analyze or to, you know, sensory kind of stimuli.
So basically,
you don't have that. It's just like
a suggestion for sci-fi speed dating could be to maybe put like a potted plant on the table or something.
Sure,
like
or something.
You know, like just yeah. so it's inviting.
When you walked in, there was like no applause. It was just all like quiet.
It's weird.
Feet shuffling.
And basically, you're supposed to get into whatever chair that, you know, is just empty. So everybody's just kind of picking
I wonder
chairs.
If there was like a really super hot girl that like guys just Everyone like just came running to that? Her.
Was there?
No, not really. It's just like, it's not so much that they weren't attractive. It's just that everybody was just like, well, this seems like...
This is strange.
Like, I just wonder if, like, Kate Upton was there and everyone's like, oh, I need to get to her. like there's some
but
tackle
see,
on
but
that
see,
table.
But see, the speed in which you'd have to... The speed
That's
in which you'd
have
to recognize...
In.
No, but you'd have to recognize her as soon as you walk in, like, as fast as hell. Yeah. Like, you really don't know. But, I mean, the way is everyone's going to get a turn with each person, though, anyway, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that, like, I do believe that the female equation in the speed dating was a little bit lacking.
Like, the ratio was off?
Yeah, the ratio was off, so they had to get some of the pink people
some,
who were
some
working.
Some fillers?
Yeah.
Seat fillers?
Yeah, some people
but
who were literally
good.
Working.
In a way, it's just, like, practice. So it makes you practice with a lady talking to a girl.
Yeah.
A lot of guys need that practice.
It was just really weird, because...
Now, you've never done this before, right?
The speed dating?
Yeah.
I've done actual speed dating.
Oh, okay. Time. So you have something to compare it to.
Yeah, all yeah. Right. There it. The whole scenario seems a lot more organic, a lot more comforting in the actual speed dating, like the normal people speed dating instead of sci-fi. Now, sci-fi is different because like 90% of the girls there were all cosplaying. They're all costumes.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. Did you recognize what they were cosplaying as?
Sometimes I was just like, what is going on here? So
what do you mean what's going on?
And it also just like the other guys that I was with, some are like, you know, the people who are like way too confident, but they were to the point where they were kind of annoying.
Now, did you talk to them in the line? Like what they're about? Hey, like, did you talk to them about, hey, so what are you going to say? Do you have your game? Like, you know what I mean? Did you have a conversation?
It's more like, you know, just saying like, hey, is this the proper line? We all felt really weird just standing in line.
That must be pretty awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens now is like, now, you know, you have the guys who are just like with me. Some are normal, some are just like normal guys. Some are like painfully shy about talking to the opposite Aww. Sex. And then some were just like, I don't know, they were pretty misogynistic.
Really?
Yeah.
So you get like,
they had a goal going in.
That vibe that like nerdom is always very extreme. It's like, it's either, you know, the males are incredibly shy or they're like bordering on like true assholes. Well, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I gotta explain myself.
I think you're okay.
Yeah, that's a technical term.
but like, so when you say that they're to the full extent of like geekdom, are these the type of guys that are like, I've watched every episode of Doctor Who? And you say you're a Doctor Who fan, but you didn't even know what happened in episode 20. Like, and they get like really into it.
Kind
and then,
of like
degrade people that aren't at their level.
Well, I guess what I meant to explain is like, you know, it's their element. They're at their element. So mm-hmm. there's a certain confidence that comes with that. And that creates an air of... What's beyond confidence? Like ego tripping?
Arrogance?
Arrogance, there you go.
Do you think it's only
that bleeds on to the sci-fi speed dating ending, which is weird.
Then that becomes sort of unattractive. Arrogance can be unattractive.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, you got that.
But do you think that's only in like a cons, like a Comic-Con type atmosphere where like they feel like they know everything? Whereas like if these guys were to be in like normal speed dating, they'd probably wouldn't feel as high.
No, I think, I don't know. I think it's their arrogance mixed in with them feeling like their lot in life is kind of screwed over. So they feel like the need to be that arrogant in real life.
Okay.
To somehow up, to compensate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So really we're dealing with like, if you were to put them in boxes, there's roughly three types of guys. One is like a super painfully shy geek guy.
One which is fine.
I'm not saying any of these are super horrible. I'm just trying to set the mood of like the types of guys that are doing this. So we have really shy, painful geek guy that's probably like would like to date a lady, and then that's why he's in line. And then you get like the mid card, which I will put you in, Cooney, as like,
yeah,
you know,
I'm just a
normal cool dude, you know.
Oh, thank you.
And,
then the
third level would be like a guy who's really big on themselves to like the extent where they have like big ego type deal.
I mean, I'm not
saying... they go in there being like, they're going to like just take the world over.
So what would you say you were going into this? Did you have a game plan?
Did you want
to find a girl through this, or you just want to experience it?
I kind of wanted to just experience it and just kind of feel people out.
No, I'm with you, Cooney. I feel like he just went there for the experience, but if you happen to jive well with a girl, you know, maybe it could go other places.
Now, give me an example of the best conversation and then the worst, if you can remember.
The best conversation was...
And how did it start? Because that's the icebreaker.
Because how much time do you have with each
3 minutes.
Woman? See, because that's not very
that's
long
not.
At all.
You rarely get any time to really have a conversation.
That's one song. That's one stripper song, you know?
Yeah, one dance.
Yeah, one dance.
And also, here's some couple other things. Apparently, there was a guy who was so overzealous, he touched one of the girls.
What? You can't touch the dancers. There's no touching the dancers.
Like, where did he touch her, though?
I don't know. Probably
on her thigh.
The bouncer / regulator didn't get into the actual specifics of it. But
you were there, like, while you were all talking?
See, it's one thing if maybe she had her hands folded on the table and he was just trying to reach out and just
was
be like,
table?
Oh, well, I love that show too.
And apparently
something.
Also some of the girls, some of the women, the ladies, there was also a regulation against shaking hands.
Oh, really?
Because it's the whole touching thing that kind of...
You can't even shake a dude's hand when the guy's like, hey, I'm John.
It's kind of weird because it's like I'm always used to like shaking
dudes.
Yeah.
That's a respect thing.
Yeah, it is.
So I didn't know that was a... looked down upon.
Apparently, after the touching thing, it became a whole big thing. So already there's these rules and regulations.
Did they go over
and limitations.
The rules
before you went
in?
Yeah, it's
they
like,
were like
it's
no like, touching, not like, even handshaking.
Like, here's the prison rules. And I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like, geez, this is. And the guy who was running the whole thing, I'm sure he was tired. I'm sure he was just kind of done so many of these. He's kind of done with it.
Yeah.
But he was not helping at all. He was just, he felt really impersonal with him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no sense of, you know, warmth and camaraderie.
Because this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, it's a customer service thing also. It's just like you're supposed to ingratiate yourself.
It's like, come on, guys, you ready to meet these new people? Let's get going. I don't know. Not that.
You're like a hype guy.
Yeah,
that's how I feel like you should do it, right?
Yeah, but it really should be, you know, a place out of genuine warmth, and I got none of that from him.
Hmm.
And maybe it was an off day for him. But it just didn't seem like a kind of good situation.
So you have 3 minutes with the ladies. What was Joe saying? Like, what was
the
best conversation?
The best conversation I had was actually not even like, will I even communicate with her? Will I even, you know, hook
Move
up with
forward.
Her?
Yeah.
Hook up.
Well, just take it to another level outside of the 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
she just straight up told me, it's like, this is my fourth person, and I got to tell you, this is like, I don't think I'll ever do it again. I'm like, I was really interested in what she had to say.
Was this a redhead?
No.
I don't know.
I think she was like dressed up as a zombie Raggedy Ann or something.
What are you? A zombie Raggedy Ann.
Zombie Ann.
I don't know what it was, but it was like, it was interesting. But anyway, okay.
But was her face like even zombified too?
Yeah, like the dark pupils, like demon eyes. Okay, anyways, she was really interesting. She proceeded to tell me about like how like scientifically you're supposed to have like 7 to 10 minutes to have a conversation
to get a better connection.
Yeah, better connection with another human being. And I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. And it's like, I wanted to hear more about that. And then just like,
time's up.
I'm like, no.
So close to
I gotta go check out the Googs myself.
That almost was romance.
Oh, man. But then the worst one was like one of the ladies who I knew. She was actually she was the one who registered me.
Oh, was she okay? Was she wearing blue?
What?
What was she? What was she look like? What was the description?
Was she dressed up like Avatar?
Yeah,
I don't remember. No. She was dressed up in some whatever generic comic book character or whatever.
Okay.
And like a Marvel character. I don't know.
Just some sexified character.
Kind of, yeah, actually. Anyways, she was. Yeah, but I knew she was the one who registered me for the speed dating.
You're like, oh, you're
so it's like,
you're a filler.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, I can't even have a good conversation with you. But I gotta say,
did you try? What? You tried?
Not really.
It's good to press. Like, I don't know. I feel like though, for those guys that are at that first level we were talking about, that don't know even how to approach a woman, like it's good even if they're practicing on employees. There.
But well, what did that conversation consist of? Since you both weren't in the mood.
No, well, she was totally trying to like engage me, and I'm like, I'm just tired, and I'm like, I would like to have a conversation with you. It's like, how's this convention? How does this compare to the other conventions you've been?
You like quit already?
I kind of quit. I'm like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
like
yeah, I know you're a scam.
I enjoy like the first 5, 6, 7, you know, potential dates that I was conversing with. I was really, really trying. Like I was trying to like really engage them. And then sometimes it was hard because sometimes they were more than happy to engage with me and have a conversation. And some are just like very withdrawn, and it was hard to dig that
personality out.
Yeah.
I feel like it is hard. 3 minutes isn't going to give you anything unless you like seriously sparks would fly immediately or something. But
again, it comes down to like that willingness to pay $20.
Yeah.
That means like I really want to engage.
Want a girlfriend. Yeah.
Or really want to just communicate and connect with somebody else.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's probably cheaper than like eHarmony and Match and all that.
Yeah,
I guess.
How much all those
are. But you are already seeing them in person.
Yeah. So. But like after the seventh person, I'm just like, you know what? This is really not my thing. But I'm like, I felt really embarrassed to maybe get out.
You're like, peace, I already paid for this, bye.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta get your full monies back.
So basically I just, you know, engaged in this for another 45 minutes.
So, Kenny. Yeah. So one question I have though is, did any of the women straight up give you like the whole resume thing of like, what's your name? Where do you work? How many kids do you have? Like, what's your salary?
I kind of wanted that a little bit.
Okay. Like more of a I feel like that would kind of be scary in the first 3 minutes just to like go through all your personal information.
Don't specify where you live, just the general area.
Yeah.
Also don't mention your name, don't mention your friend's name.
Damn, you just can't even it's only personality then.
It's solely personality based.
But you know how like some women are, and I don't think all women are like this, but I have heard about women going on dates and they want to know on the first date how much money you make. I've heard that women in DC like ideally like their men to make at least $75,000 a year, ideally $100K a year. That's like what women want in the DC area out of a man.
I mean, the DC dating pool is really interesting. It's kind of, I don't know how to explain it. It's a lot less.
It's very shallow, right?
Isn't it more about like
I would agree with you on that.
Isn't it more about
just
like
guessing?
Status?
I'm just guessing.
No, it's so weird because a lot of the potential dates and people that I've talked to, they're like really interesting, they're really socially engaged, and they're trying to make the world a better place. And,
yeah.
And in that regards, they're incredibly admirable. Yeah, and smart and very noble. But then like, it is kind of weird that when sometimes I would go on a date and they, I don't know, it's very career oriented.
Yes.
And the conversation itself is kind of not shallow, but it's very surface level.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard for me to just engage or like to just get into it because they don't really provide me anything to go on sometimes. Because
it's just basically, to me, it's like if you had a baseball
card. I feel
so
bad just critiquing people. I'm sorry.
But like at the end of the day, I mean, you know,
it's
an
honest conversation.
You know, when you get like an X-Men card or one of those Marvel cards and it just has the statistics on the back?
Yeah. Height, weight.
Yeah, if that becomes like the only point of conversation, it's like, oh, I just learned all I could from you, from your Wikipedia. Yeah. And if it doesn't go beyond that, your hope is that it goes beyond that because then it feels like you're making a connection.
Well, and also, you got to admit, I'm pretty much an acquired taste.
Were you telling that to me?
Yeah. Both of you guys.
I mean, just, I would agree with that.
Have to have a strong palate to really appreciate the power
that
of Cooney.
No. I'm not saying acquired taste in that, like, I'm like a fine wine.
Like a blowfish? Like, you need to get the right to cut it?
Yeah, yeah.
Some people will be like, oh, this is pretty good. And sometimes some people will be like, well, I'm going to die in like 5 minutes now. So.
Yeah, but those are the people that are not interesting, too.
Yeah. See, yeah. I feel like you do have a little... And this is going to sound so messed up, but we're talking about, like, dating or
that's
whatever.
Messed up!
Yeah, yeah, sure.
No, but you do have, like, a little spark about you that doesn't make you, like, the average guy.
You're not a normie, Cooney. You're not a normie.
I am. Like, I've known this all my whole life.
I mean, but I think it's a good thing, like, there, because there's, like, a million other guys out there that are just like, yes, I go to work, I go home, I wear my Dockers,
and I watch the big game.
Dockers? Lawn, yeah, you know,
really, whatever. Dockers?
I don't know.
And you're like, man, how about them Phoenix Suns? Shit like that, you know?
I really like going to Kohl's. Yeah, Kohl's.
I shop at Kohl's.
Yeah, you don't,
at the Montgomery Ward.
Yeah, you don't just wear some khaki shorts and a polo shirt. Than just do
golf
about your
shirt.
Day.
My 50% off sale at Caldor.
Yeah.
Remember Caldor? Anyways.
That's not you, Cooney.
But thank you very much. Well, I mean, like I said, it's...
But you just got to find that special lady that likes the spark. That's what I mean. Like, and she might be hard to find.
It is. Like, it's very hard to find.
You need to basically find your match, your equivalent of that spark.
At eHarmony.com.
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
You should just go crazy and go like the, like, there's the, what, there's other ones, like Jewish love. Like,
oh, yeah, like the J-Date. That's for Jewish.
Man, I'm totally into some Jewish girls.
Well, you should go on J-Date.
You like the Allison Breeze, man. That's what it is. You like the Allison Breeze.
See, that we found a solution. Cooney needs to go on J-Date.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I should advertise myself on this podcast.
Yes, you can. That's why we're putting your name out.
If any of you ladies are listening, if you want the special spark in your life, Cooney.
That's what it is. The special spark Cooney. The special spark.
Cooney is available, and he's a great guy. Aww. You just have to be up for some crazy Cooney times, and he will make your life happy, and you can make him happy.
That's right.
Thanks. Thanks for that 30.
That's that hard 30.
Hey, man, I only have like 2 minutes to advertise you.
Oh, thanks.
So,
appreciate it.
I mean, that's all I can do. I don't know. I do think that 3 minutes, though, you can't know anybody in 3 minutes. Like I said, that's one of those things that it has to be like an instant, like, oh, wow, this guy is great.
I'm a slow burn kind of guy. I like to engage in a conversation and then, like, have a long, honest dialogue between two people. So,
yeah,
that's kind of nice.
Like, you actually want to have a connection.
Yes.
You don't want the in out real fast.
Yeah,
whatever
the
orange.
The quick fix.
Yeah, you don't want the quick fix, the instant high.
Thanks very much, you guys, for just making it just a giant advertisement for me as the potential date.
At Cooney Owie.
Yes, everybody into Cooney.
You can't find him on Twitter, but you can find him on Instagram, also on the Facebooks.
And we'll also put up a picture of his face.
Not only that, but you can check out his website. Check out his website.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you doing to me?
He's a very creative guy.
That's right.
He works on some great projects.
I shot his headshot, so you know it looks good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
CooneyTariOwie.com. Check out his work, too.
Tari?
Huh? What did I say?
Tari.
Sorry.
K-U-N-I-T-A-R-O-O.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, at least the wire isn't crapping out on you anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, see, that was the ghost.
The ghost got friendly, you know?
That's right, man. That's right.
You two stop talking about him.
He's like, you stop talking about me, I'll stop talking
He's
about
like, you. When are you going to talk about Cooney? I'm trying to hear the truth about this
maybe
guy, this gentleman.
Maybe he likes you, Cooney. Maybe he wants to date you.
This gentleman.
No.
this Japanese specimen of a man. That's what they want.
So creepy. The way you describe that one.
Yeah, I'm sure
the
all the
Japanese
girls are
specimen of a man.
I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean?
There might be some girls that are into that.
Possibly.
I've dated some girls who are into the fact that I'm Asian.
Yeah, they definitely are out there.
I'm kind of fine with that as long as they don't make that into like the number one top priority. Yeah. They actually like me as a human being.
Yeah, they're because like, then you start... I'm just with him because he's Asian.
Well,
yeah.
Because I can see the jealousy factor coming in too with like all of a sudden there's other Asians in the room and you're just like, she's really into Asians and we're filled with them.
No, it's just like my whole relationship is based on a lie or something. You know?
Yeah.
Sure. That's kind of creepy.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Cooney.
Thanks, Cooney.
Thank you so much.
You guys.
So this show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check them out at straightproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabello.com. Also, gostray.com and one-shots.com. My band, mondaymistress.com, playing beginning of July. Check out Curls. Carolyn, let them know.
Yeah. I have a comic strip called Curls, and you can read it at curls-studio.com/curls. And I also have a portfolio website. It is carolynbelefsky.com. You can also reach me on Twitter and Instagram and a whole bunch of other social media fun stuff.
Not Snapchat.
Well, it's at Carolyn Belefsky. And if I learn Snapchat, maybe I'll do some snaps. Because I need to learn how to use that app. And if you know how to use it, let me know. Or else I'll Google it and figure it out this week.
That's right. And of course, at Cooney Owe, Instagram, follow him. Follow him.
Follow him and date
follow him.
Him
and, no. date, and date him. All of you date him. All of you date him.
What if you find? What if you find like your true love through this podcast?
That'd be amazing, Cooney.
That'd be
amazing.
I seriously would be like very happy for you. So I hope that happens.
And we're going to leave that. Cooney, you're going to find your true love after this episode.
To be continued.
Yes.
That's right. Don't forget, CarolynandJoeShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We appreciate every single one of you. You are the greatest. And as usual, my name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
Have a good night or day.